Okay, and now I'm ready.
That's Jonathan Hirsch. He hosts a podcast called Arrivals out of Brooklyn, New York. This episode's about a game. Jonathan and I are working on an exciting project right now with a few other producers. So I thought I'd ask him what his favorite game was.
All right, so Jonathan, what is your favorite game?
I think my favorite game is probably baseball. I know that's like not the most interesting thing to say, but I love it. I love baseball. I've loved baseball since I was a little kid. So.
Why is baseball your favorite game?
You can take it as far as you want. You can go from just like watching a game and eating popcorn to like digging deep into the minute details of a single at-bat.
See, in here I thought you'd just say like operation or something.
I'm Jacob Lewis, and you're listening to Neighbors, the show where next door hits home, telling stories of ordinary people that connect us to others and ourselves. Today's story, Quit Playing Games With My Heart, a story about using creativity to move on, how one man went from hell to community through a one-player card game. And this story begins at the end of everything, in a crumbling tower.
When the world ended, all that was left was missing or broken. Broken hearts and broken roads, missing loves and lost purpose. It was the musicians who left to search for clues, the minstrels and bards with their magical songs, riding off into the sunset to seek out a miracle. But that was long ago. Now there is one last minstrel searching for answers, searching for hope.
This is how the game Spell Saga begins. It's a card game. It was created by a guy named Todd Michael Rogers.
I make stuff. I usually curse a lot, but I'm going to try not to.
Just do you.
Okay, I make shit. And
what is Spell Saga?
Spell Saga is a post-apocalyptic medieval western. It is a card game that you play by yourself, and we call it a tabletop novel. Because it's a dumb phrase that conveys exactly what it is. And a lot of it was based on a lot of Scottish bands that I was into at the time that I still enjoy, but I was like really into like, I discovered like Big Country, the band. Like they had that song In a Big Country, which you might remember if you heard it. It sounds like bagpipes, but it's like electric guitar. It's super cool. It's from the 80s.
So in the game, you start in this tower that's falling apart. You escape, and then you travel through a place called the Highlands. There you will encounter pixies, magic masks, a lute with a broken string that you can play spell songs on, and a rusty revolver that only works some of the time. Just like the game, Todd's story also starts in a crumbling tower.
So I got married when I was really young, and it was really bad. Lifetime movie bad.
He was very lonely.
It was the sort of bad where you stop having friends around because it's so bad that you sort of sequester yourself. And I started playing video games like I did when I was a kid, and I was playing like a little handheld video game thing, and it hurt my eyes so bad because I was an adult by then, and I was spending all my other time like at work staring at a screen and like or writing a novel, and like it basically burned my eyes. Like I had a migraine for like 3 days and it was like the worst pain. And I realized like, okay, I don't have friends, I can't play games now.
So he turned to card games. But besides solitaire, he was kind of stuck. I mean, there weren't any good games for just one player. In high school, he had thought of the origins of Spell Saga. It was an on-again, off-again kind of project over the years. He decided to go at it again. He takes the music, images, and the grief of his life and funnels them into the game. He finds energy and purpose, but he wanted to take it to the next level and get Spell Saga published.
When I made the game, I thought, oh, I need someone to publish the game because that is how things are done. So I thought, oh, you have to do it this way. You can't just self-publish a cool game. It won't matter.
So he took a giant leap and reached out to a god in the gaming world.
So I emailed this guy, Peter Atkinson.
Peter founded Wizards of the Coast, a really successful gaming company. They put out Magic the Gathering, some Pokemon cards, and a reboot of Dungeons and Dragons. Some of you, that may not mean much, but these are huge games. Peter also founded a thing called Gen Con, the largest gaming convention in the world. No big deal.
I guess his email on like the sixth try, and instead of getting
mad. Oh, you guessed his email?
Yeah. I've done it a couple times. It's really, you can get a lot done by guessing someone's email. And he wrote back and he wasn't mad. He didn't scream at me or anything. He just, you know, said, I told him I had the future of gaming because I thought that would get his attention like an asshole. But I said, I think I have that. I think I have something incredible. I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything to show it to you.
Peter wrote Todd back. He said, come to Gen Con and show me your game.
I like panicked because I was like, oh shit. Because like I lied basically. Because I didn't actually have a game that worked yet. It was just like index cards that didn't really work together very well.
So Todd got really busy.
So in 3 months, I completely redesigned the game like twice with my buddy Sokroka, because he would play test it all the time until like, this is not fun, or what are you doing, or this looks good.
Took over Todd's life.
By the time August had come around, which is when Gen Con was starting, I had all four decks finished with packaging. Like, you can see the boxes over there somewhere. Like, the whole thing was done with a rule book. Cousin Lord started doing art for it, and everything worked.
Todd was ready to go to Gen Con and show his game to Peter.
And also, my wife said she wanted a divorce.
What happened next was kind of like a yo-yo of emotion. He drives to Gen Con and shows Peter the game.
He liked it.
Peter loves it, actually. He says that Todd reminds him of Richard Garfield, the guy who created Magic the Gathering. He said the artwork, the gameplay, was all great. But then Peter tells him the bad news. He had just stopped publishing games.
So it was just the wrong time for him. He was into it. You had his blessing, but not his endorsement.
It was the wrong time for everything. Never summer, never winter, spring and fall only remembered. All that's left is a damp day and a chill night. These are the Highlands, gray skies and dangerous nights.
Todd was in a daze. When he got home, he looked around his apartment, grabbed what he thought was fair to take, and left for his aunt's house. No one knew. He didn't tell his parents or his friends.
I got divorced, put the game away, didn't do anything for like a year or so.
And I kept bumping into you, right?
Yeah.
That's Josh Rizzo. He helps Todd make the game now.
I kept going in because he would be designing it, and I'd be like, oh, Todd, man, you've disappeared since you married that wench. And I just wouldn't see him ever, and then it would just be like randomly saying Todd.
He had gained weight, and he didn't cut his hair or shave.
I looked like a vagrant. I was scary, and I was like, I'm putting together this the game. Like, I looked like scary.
But then things started to change. Just like the hero in the game wandering the Highlands, Todd's world started to get a little bigger. Todd met a girl.
Can you say your name?
Megan Crawford, domestic partner and supporter.
He asked his old friend Sokroka to lunch, the one who helped him get the game ready to show to Peter Atkinson.
I said, you know, it's been a year, and we're like, holy shit, we hadn't seen each other, and he was seeing someone now, and I was with Megan, and I was hanging out with friends. The spell slot was so far away, but during lunch we talked about it. I was like, what if we just did self-publish it? Like, how much would we need? And then I was like, yeah, maybe we should. And then he was like, you should Kickstarter. I was like, fuck that. We're not doing Kickstarter. We're not begging for money.
But then one night, Josh was with some friends. They were all drinking and smoking and playing the game. He looked around and he saw that people were into it. He had a change of heart.
So then that night I decided, oh, we have to Kickstart then. I'm being a dick. Like, we should just Kickstart. If people like it, if these people like it, then I know more people will probably like it. And then a month later, I nervously called Josh and left him a voicemail and asked him to help me make the game. And then he never responded until a couple of days later, I saw him where he was at work. I said, hey, man, did you get my voice? He was like, oh, yeah, cool. Let's do it. I was like, oh, my God. All right. And that's been the working relationship since. It's him just going with the flow and me nervously thinking over everything. Yeah. It's been good. It's a good partnership.
So they planned a Kickstarter.
We needed $30,000+ to publish the whole game as one unit. And we made 12. Was it 12? Yeah, which is, I mean, if I were to say, hey, I found $12,000, it'd be a celebration. It'd be a horrific, evil, heathen celebration that night. But when you're trying to make $30,000, you don't get the money from Kickstarter unless you raise it all.
But it wasn't quite a failure.
We had all these fans around the world, and people were offering to translate the game for us for free.
They promised everyone they'd be back for a relaunch.
We thought 4 months will be great, and we'll just do it again. A year to the day later, we launched the second Kickstarter, and we did not stop that whole time. It was redesigning the game, getting everything ready. It took a year.
During that time, Todd took a huge leap and quit his job, just so he could work on the game.
Hey, Megan, I just wanted to ask you what you thought of Todd in doing all this.
Wow. So I had never really been in that close, like, proximity to someone going for something as hard as he was and figuring out everything and every problem as it came along. Like, I was just watching Todd, like, get rejected or things didn't work out, and he would figure out a way to keep going. So I guess admiration and being really annoyed by it at the same time.
Josh and I were very nervous because we're like doing the same thing over again.
Well, but funded in 4 days.
It was nuts.
It had worked. They split the game into thirds and were only asking for 11,000 this time. And they got almost 20,000. All over the world, people contributed, including this guy who goes by the screen name Kierkegaard555. He gave a lot of money. And now Josh and him are friends. And considering where Josh was a year before, all of this is a big deal.
Right after we funded, I was in shock and I thought, I need to capture this shock. I'm going to be really honest right now. So I drove to the place, this shitty job that I had for 6 years, and I drove to the parking lot where I would go on my breaks every day, like twice a day. I'd walk the length of the parking lot and I'd think about Spell Saga for 5 years. I'd think about, like, how am I ever going to do this? And the day that we funded, I drove there and I video record myself walking through the parking lot, talking to the camera about how it made me feel. And then I uploaded it as a video blog, and it was excruciating to do. And I can't watch it now. I'm glad I did it, but like, it's like, because that's what I want the game to represent, and that's how I want that community to feel, is like a place where you can be honest. And that's, Josh and I talk a lot about, like, how making art is communication. So the more honest you are, like, with yourself or with your audience, not just throwing everything up, but like really just truly being honest about, like, how fucking terrified you are all the time or how stupid you feel, you'll probably make better art.
The game starts in a shaky place. The hero of Spell Saga is rewarded for exploring. He goes out and finds other heroes to join him. That's exactly what happened to Todd. You know, the other day, I went to Home Depot to buy some gardening tools. And as I was pulling into the parking lot, I just so happened to see Todd and his wife, Megan, in their car. They were about ready to pull out of the lot. There at the stoplight, I see Megan lean over and kiss Todd on the cheek, and a big smile flashed across his face. He looked happy, and definitely not alone.
If you make a game for lonely people to play by themselves, you might accidentally create a group of lonely people that feels like a kind army of understanding patrons.
That's a very good way to describe it.
Josh and Todd create games under the name The French Toast Gaming Company. They have a third Kickstarter happening in May. To see photos of them and learn more about Spell Saga, visit neighborspodcast.com. This episode of Neighbors is brought to you by Baja Burrito, located in the Berry Hill neighborhood in Nashville, Tennessee. They've been doing it the hard way since 2001. My wife and I eat there at least every Wednesday night. They have the best burritos on the planet. Go. You won't regret it. Neighbors is produced by Tasha A.F. Limley, Bailey Robbins, and me, Jacob Lewis. If you have a spare 30 seconds, go leave a review in iTunes. What it does is help make the show more visible. Well, I'm Jacob Lewis, and I'm reminding you to get to know your neighbors.